Well, good morning, everyone. If there's anything that we need to be thankful for, that Jesus Christ is, coming as our King of Kings. We're going to learn a lot today about what's going to happen in the future. We're going to start out in the first part of the book of Revelation so that we have just an inkling of what is ahead, because with Thanksgiving coming, we need to be very thankful that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and he's the one who oversees everything. So let's begin with prayer. Again, Father, we want to be that house of prayer you've designed us to be, because we want to be in close relationship with you 24/7. You are our King of Kings, and there's none like you, and your word makes that very clear. And we thank you for your word, because it gives us truth, it gives us hope, it gives us vision, it gives us a future that the rest of the world is blinded to, and they just wonder what in the world's going on here on this earth. But Father, we just thank you that you've revealed these things to us, and we are so blessed to have a future with you that is beyond comprehension. And so God, we are here to be thankful to you, to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, and we ask you to teach us what you want us to learn and give us your heart so that we will fulfill your will in everything that we do, because that's the only way things really work the way that they need to work. And we praise you and thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And Revelation here at the beginning, just a little bit of a background, because most people don't realize that John, who wrote this book, was facing, well, he was in jail. But he wasn't in jail, he was in prison. But he was writing this book in the middle of the ocean, on an island of Patmos. And he was banished there because of a very jealous Caesar. Anybody who's in power, they don't want anybody messing with them. And John was talking about Jesus being the King of Kings. And he didn't like that. And so he said, you're going to go out on this island. He was banished. And so we're going to see how God is working behind the scenes, because you can't mess with God. It just ain't going to work, because God is in control of everything. He watches every leaf that falls to the earth. The Bible says if he's noticing that, you know right well he's in control of what's going on around us all the time. And that's good news to know. So to begin with, I'd just like to begin, before we start in verses 4, I'd like to read the introduction, because it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place, he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything that he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, because that's what it's all about. The whole Bible is about the testimony of Jesus Christ telling us what the future is going to be and what God has in store and how much he loves every single human being, in spite of the fact that Satan is trying to tell everybody the opposite. So they're listening to Satan, because Satan is the god of this world and Satan is shooting these fiery darts in everybody's mind. But that's why Jesus is coming back to get rid of him. But he's allowing him to be there so that the whole world can get a bellyful of sin and come to realize sin sucks and it's rotten to the core and it's got to be banished. And so, blessed is the one, verse 3, who reads the words of this prophecy. So we are blessed to be able to read this and to understand it, as we're going to see, because many people read this and it goes right over their head. They don't get it. But when you have the Holy Spirit that God has given to us, we can see things nobody else can see, because we see things from God's perspective. That's what the Holy Spirit, when you are baptized, God says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the mind of Christ, so that we can begin to think like God does, which is totally the opposite of what everybody else thinks, who has human nature only and doesn't have the Holy Spirit to turn that around and go the other 180 degrees that it needs to go. So blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart. And that's what we're here for today, is to make sure that when we hear this, that we take it to heart, that it becomes a part of your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And God wants us to be filled with the truth when we speak, so that we're not on planet Mars trying to pretend we know what we're talking about. God's word is the truth. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Now, what I thought it would be nice to see is when John was on the Isle of Patmos, to have a few pictures here so that you see where he was banished to. How would you like to live there? If you're a lonely person, you might like to live there. It was called like a rock, and there wasn't a lot of action going on over there, but he was banished there because it was a place to send people that you don't want to be around. And he and Caesar wanted to get him as far away from Rome as possible. And he was way out in the ocean on the border of Turkey, is where the Isle of Patmos is. The next picture, we'll see that a little bit more. This is what it looks like today. So they have some action going on there today. There's about 50 islands right out there, 50 islands all together in that area. And he was at the farthest flung island away from Athens, where he was. And then here's another one. So you can see, if you're going to be there, it's kind of like Peru was. If you want to know what Peru was like, that's what it looks like. I'm walking up there, and you keep walking and keeping walking. You never get to the top. I didn't get to the top. He wanted to get him as far away as he possibly could, and he banished him on that island. So that's kind of like a prison. So what I thought I might have you have an opportunity to listen to Jose share a little bit about what it feels like to be banished and what it feels like to be put in jail and prison.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for the lovely introduction and letting us know John's journey before we get into his journey. What I would like to share with you guys is Psalms 53, and talking about being isolated, being sent off far away, and being in prison. This Psalms right here hit deep when I was inside that place. For when I was inside there, this is what Psalms 53 says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done admirable iniquity. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There's none who does good. No, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call upon God? There they are in great fear, where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. You have put them to shame because God has despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion when God brings back the captivity of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. So inside a place, when you're inside prison, jail, any kind of confinement, any kind of camp that's isolating you from the world where we're at today, it's ugly and gloomy. So imagine every day just raining, storming, thunders, snow, just blizzards ever coming. The worst you could think of, that's everybody's mindset inside there. Nobody inside prison, majority of people, don't see a positive light, right? You go to Psalms 23, in the shadows, in the valley of the darkest shadows, I'm butchering it. Yeah, in the shadow of death, right? The shadow is a light cast. You can't have a shadow unless there's light. So even in those darkest moments that we have, God's still there with his light. Even if we just barely see a little bit of the light, right? It's like that mustard seed, that little bit of faith. The light, you're in this complete darkness place, but you see a shadow. That's God. His light is with you inside that place. So when we're here in Psalms 53, nobody's doing good. Everybody's against me. I personally took that as a personal, like, notion, like, everybody's against me because I choose to live for you. So when we choose to live for Christ, everybody turns against us. Family, friends, loved ones, because they're stuck into the world. So as we see where John got sent to Patmos, he was living for Christ, living for God. He's writing it out against the Roman emperor. So Caesar's like, you are intoxicating my people with this iniquity. Like, he's thinking it's abolished. Like, it's worthless. Like, you are going to plague my city. And that's how it is inside a prison. When you have the truth and you out there sending it, speaking it to people inside, that they want to keep you in this mindset, just like a worldly, right? I was trying to picture, how can I picture it to be where you have the prison and the world together, how we combined it? Because even while we're here in the world who has never been in prison, a lot of us are captive in our own mind. And when we're captive in our own mind is because of experiences we may have, traumas that we've gone through, culture. We have our culture that we stick to, that what raised us, family, you know, what they put on us. We are captive to that when it comes to God's word, because it's hindering us from what the truth is. And so when we see God contradicting, but it's not God contradicting us, as Pastor Mal said, it's the devil, it's Satan. He comes in, he's putting, because he's the world God, but not the God of eternal. He's not the truth. Christ is the truth. So when you stand against everybody who's against Christ, this is what it looks like. No one does good. We know that in the truth. I'm a sinner. All of us are sinners. But it's just as Paul says, just because we have grace, does it mean he gives us the ability just to go out and sin anyways? No, because we know the balance of obedience and disobedience. So I just wanted to share that the time that I was gone, when I was in prison, everybody in there wants to do bad, wants to do harm. They want to live a way that blends in with everybody. When you live for Christ, there's no blending. We're always going to stand out. We're always going to be the opposite. We are, as he says, holy. We're not common. Being holy, you're not common. We're going to stand out differently. So I just want to go ahead and just share that with you. I'm going to call Pastor Mel back up here. But just remember this. There is none who does good. No, not one. So when we know we are not good and everybody's against us, they're not against us, they're against Christ. Because we live for Christ, someone's always going to be against us. So even we're never in a prison, even when we feel or think we are in a prison. Thank you.
Well, it's been a delight to be hanging out with Jose since he's been out. And it's been a blessing to see how God works in our lives and transforms our lives when we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is priceless beyond words. So let's continue here in Revelation, and we'll see here in chapter 1, because we are blessed when we hear these things. But listen to this. John, verse 4, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. So he's speaking to these people, and he was probably not, he was involved in their conversion and teaching them and so on. And he said, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne. Now, who are the seven spirits that are before his throne? I've always wondered about that. And then you realize when you read the rest of the chapter, chapters 2 and 3, it says here in chapter 2, to the angel of the church at Ephesus, right? And then in verse 8, it says, to the angel of the church in Smyrna. Then verse 12, to the angel of the church in Pergamum. So there were seven angels that were there before the throne, and each one was responsible for looking after the church, that particular church, just like you have an angel with you everywhere you go. God says the angel of the Lord encamps around about those that fear him and delivers them. And so that's wonderful to know that there's so many blessings when we believe and put our faith in Jesus Christ as being the King of Kings. He is overseeing everything, and nobody can foil what God's plan is. And he goes on to say, now notice this carefully. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and is to come. That can only be God, because he's been here past, present, and future. And he was here before time even began, and he'll be here for eternity, because he is eternal. He is not transient. He's not mortal or human or like that, except for that moment of when Jesus became flesh to save us from our sins. And from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. First of all, the faithful witness and the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Now, what's interesting is here, John was sent to this place, and we think, oh man, I'm in prison. What's going to happen? You know, and that would be my thought when I'm in prison until God opens up my eyes to see what's really going on. But this is what we need to realize is when we have Jesus Christ living in us, and he is our king, and he is the king of all kings, he's involved all the time, no matter what. You get sent to prison and so on. Look what happened. What happened to John when he was sent and banished to the Isle of Patmos and so on? And here the emperor thought, oh man, I got him out of the way. No, John did more damage to his empire than he had ever done before, because he was doing it by writing the book of Revelation that was going to be sent out for eternity. It was writing a book that was going to conclude the Bible. And it was all about the future. And like it says here, he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. In other words, he's writing here and saying, Emperor Jesus Christ, the one you don't like to hear about, he is the one who's your boss. Like it or lump it. That's just the way that it is. And that's the comfort that we can be thankful for, especially during this season of the year, to just be thanking God profusely that no matter what we're going through, God says, once he's begun a good work in us, he will perform it. And he will turn things around. He will turn a major crisis into one of the biggest blessings that you've ever had. And I've seen that when I go back in my personal life, and you look at your personal life, and you'll see that sometimes the things that you thought were the biggest trial of your life were the biggest transformation in your life, because God is able to transform us by the Holy Spirit and cause a major crisis to become a phenomenal blessing. And that's why he says, grace and peace to you. Grace means I'm going to give you something you don't deserve. Mercy is when you don't get something you do deserve. But grace is when you get something you don't deserve. And we don't deserve eternal life. We don't deserve the creator of the universe being in control of our lives, guiding every single moment. Most people in the world have no clue about that. They don't know that God is actually working in their lives right now, teaching them how rotten sin is. And that was the whole purpose of ancient Israel. Ancient Israel, they were screwed up all the time. They were just worshiping Baal and doing all sorts of crazy stuff when God brought them out of Egypt, brought them through pathway through the Red Sea, and then he fed them with manna in the wilderness and so on. And they're out there worshiping on some stupid rock. But it just shows you, like Jose was reading there in Psalms, about there's none righteous, no, not even one. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, you just don't get it. You can't get it. It just goes in one ear and out the other. It goes right over the top of your head. You don't see it. That's why we need the gift of the Holy Spirit to begin to see things from God's perspective. And as God draws us to him, he will open our eyes to begin to see things. But just like the prophets in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. They had the Holy Spirit with them. The gospel was with them and the Holy Spirit was with them. But he says he is with you, but he shall be in you on the day of Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the entire church. And then we have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit living in us, which is a totally different ballgame, totally different ballgame, because you already then have eternal life abiding in you. The Holy Spirit, when you receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, you have, it's kind of like the impregnation of a baby in the mother's womb. You are impregnated with the Spirit that's going to give you a spirit body at the return of Jesus Christ. Because that's what he's going to be looking for when he comes back to this earth. There's going to be darkness all over the earth, spiritually speaking. But he's going to see these lights. And these lights are where the Holy Spirit is in us. And they are the ones who are going to be resurrected and brought out of their graves first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So these are the things we need to really be thankful for, and just be thanking God that he's got a plan that he's working out that human beings can't foil. There's no way God is going to fail, And even if though you may be hanging upside down in a well by your toenails, it makes no difference, because he's going to use that for his glory, and he'll turn it around for good, because you are precious in the sight of God. He gave his life for you. And we need to take that personally and realize how precious this gift is, this gift of grace and peace, because the Bible says, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And that's grace is the magnification of the law, so that we have God's heart instead of just God's law, like was given to ancient Israel. And so notice these things where it says these three things from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. So he is the witness. In fact, if there's anybody that has witnessed for the future, that's Jesus Christ, because the whole Bible's about him. The Old Testament is pointing to him. The New Testament tells all about what he did. And the whole fulfillment of the New Testament is about the future that we have with him as King of Kings and King over all the earth. And so he goes on to say, he is the firstborn from the dead. When you're the firstborn from the dead, there's going to be a secondborn. That's where we come in. We're going to be the secondborn of the dead, because when Christ returns, there's going to be another resurrection. Jesus was the first one that was resurrected to eternal life. And we are going to be the second group described in Revelation 20. Blessed and holy is he that has part in that first resurrection of all these people. Jesus Christ was the one that paved the way. But the first resurrection is when Christ returns. And then the second resurrection is at the end of the 1,000 years. And you can read that in Revelation 20 as well, where all those people will come back in the flesh to have an opportunity without Satan deceiving them, as they had to deal with in this life. So going on, he says, and he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. So this went out, and I would imagine this got read to the emperor. It basically is telling the emperor, take it or leave it, but you're not the king. Jesus is the king of all the kings, and you are his servant. And that's good to know, that we don't have to worry about governments. We don't have to worry about our president or anything like that, because he is under the authority of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ only allows anybody to do what God wants them to do. Now, he says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. And that is, talk about something to be thankful for. We need to be thankful that he has paid the penalty for all of our sins and has freed us from our sins. Because if he didn't do that, what hope would we have? Do you know what the only hope the dead have? Is a resurrection. That's the only hope the dead have. And that's our hope too, because it's appointed unto all men once to die. But after this, we have that resurrection to eternal life. And has made us to be a kingdom and priests. Now, this is something most people just go over. What do you mean? He has made us to be a kingdom. What is that all about? Well, hold your finger here and let's take a look in chapter 5 of Revelation in verse 10. Notice what it says here. Revelation 5 and verse 10 says, talking about the saints, and they sang a new song in the kingdom. You are worthy to take the scroll to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe, language, and people and nation. And you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And when they reign on the earth, that means they're going to have authority over all the nations. If you read all those seven churches, it says, to him that overcomes, to him will I give power over the nations. Wow. So when Christ comes back, we are going to be given power over the entire world. I don't feel like I'm ready for that. But when I have a spirit body like you do, or you're going to have as well, and you become like Jesus Christ, you don't have anything to worry about, because you'll be like Jesus was. And Jesus said, my Father who is in me, he does the works. And so we'll be able to perform miracles and do all sorts of things as a spirit beings. And this is what is ahead for us. We are going to be a kingdom of priests, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth and have power over the nations. It's just amazing to realize, and you don't have to say, I don't even want to do that. Well, when you are a spirit being and you have this kind of power and you don't have to worry about fear because fear will be irrelevant, you won't even have any fears, doubts, all those will be expunged from your nature because you will have the nature of God in you and the human nature will have been obliterated. Human nature is sin. It's the definition of sin because that's what Jose was reading there in the Psalms about there's none righteous, no, not even one. It's all sin, sin, sin. And that's all going to be obliterated. And if you read it in the book of Matthew, you'll see that Jesus Christ came for the purpose to abolish sin. That's why he was born. He came to abolish sin. And so that's why the word of God is so priceless and precious. And that's why he says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And your blood just pays for your sins and you're dead for eternity. But if Jesus pays the penalty for your sins with his blood is covering your sins for, and will give you eternal life because that's what he said. God spoke everything into existence. And if he says your sins are covered, your sins are covered. And if he says you're going to become a spirit being or you're going to be a king or a priest or whatever, that's the way it's going to be. That's because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is in control of everything. So he has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And look, he is coming with the clouds and every eye will see him. So try to imagine how spectacular that's going to be when Christ returns and he's coming in the clouds, but he is going to obviously circle the entire globe and everybody's going to see him. I don't know. But as a spirit being, he can do what he wants. He can appear in multiple places, I would imagine, because if every eye is going to see him, people are going to be on one side of the earth and on the other side and everybody's going to see him. That's going to take a miracle, but God can do anything he wants. So look, he's coming with the clouds and every eye will see him and even those who pierced him. Now they're not going to see him in the first resurrection. They're going to, because they won't be a part of the first resurrection. Unless some of those that pierced him were converted in Acts chapter 2. And that could have well have been because many of those individuals who were there probably repented and listened to the teachings of Peter in Acts chapter 2 and may have been a part of the body of Christ. So we'll leave that up to God. That's not our business. But every eye will see him, even those that pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. And so there's just one thing I would like to read before we conclude. Yeah, listen to this. Psalm 149. I love this. This is just at the conclusion of all the Psalms, which are all about praising God and thanking God for all the blessings that we have. And listen to this. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. And that's what we were doing when we're singing praises to God right here. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Have you ever thought about coming up here and dancing? Well, we did have Lauren. She danced up here for us, but they were dancing to God and giving God all the glory. And he says, and make music to him with the tambourine and with the harp. We do have the harp here. Seth plays the harp. I mean, that's a guitar, but it's pretty close to a harp. But it's beautiful, you know, and we're praising God with that, like he says. For the Lord takes delight in his people. Isn't that beautiful? He crowns the humble with salvation because he says, to this man will I look, to him that is humble and contrite and trembles at my word. That's who God's looking for. So let the saints rejoice in this honor. What is this honor? Read on, and you're going to see something that most people don't even know is in the Bible. And sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths, and a double-edged sword in their hands. Now, what's this double-edged sword? The Word of God. Because we've got the truth in our hands, and we've got God's praise in our hearts. And this double-edged sword in their hands, but what is it for? Now, listen to this. To inflict vengeance on the nations? How are the body of Christ and the church going to inflict vengeance on the nations? What do you mean? Well, you see, God says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. When we are a part of the body of Christ, he's our head. We're his body. We're going to do what he wants us to do. And God says, when he comes back, he's going to take vengeance. But it's righteous indignation, where he is going to do what the rest of this chapter is going to tell you. To inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples because of so much sin and corruption, just like ancient Israel. But God says, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. So God keeps his word. Then he says in verse 8 how it's going to come about. To bind their kings with fetters. Interesting. You mean we'll have a part in that? And their nobles with shackles of iron. It's kind of hard to be in control over your country when all of a sudden you're in jail. Or you're in fetters and you're put in shackles of iron. But what does it say? To carry out the sentence written against them, this is the glory of all his saints. Wow. It just shows you what God's got up his sleeve. He plans to use the body of Christ to bring peace to this earth and to transform this world so that the world will be obliterated from sin. And when Jesus Christ comes back, these are the things that are going to happen, and we have everything to thank God for. And if we stay close to God and do what he tells us to do, to be devoted to the Word of God and to the fellowship as he commands when we are baptized, repent and be baptized, every one of you, to be devoted to the Word of God, the apostles' teachings, and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. We do that once a month, but that's talking about a relationship with God, and devoted to prayer. Those are the four things that God is looking for. And when we are doing these things and so on, God is preparing us to do what we've just been reading about, to be a part of his work, doing his will and fulfilling what he wants us to do, to turn this whole world around so that this world will finally be at peace and everyone will be looking to God as their Savior and their King. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you very much that you have a plan to save this world. You said who would have all men to be saved. That's your heart's desire. And only those who refuse and are stubbornly resistant, you're not going to force people. But you're going to give everybody an opportunity to be undeceived so that Satan is going to be out of the picture for 1,000 years and we can have peace and government by the best king in the universe. And that's your son, Jesus Christ, and you have ordained it to be that way. And we thank you, Father, for giving us your son to be our Savior and our King forever and ever. And all the glory goes to you, Father, and we praise you and thank you from the bottom of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.